Okay, I called it Mashiach 101 for two reasons. One is 101 is like an introductory course because we're just going to do basic facts. You could really probably break it up into about 8 or 9 topics. We'll do about 5 hopefully. That's first of all. And then Mashiach 101 also is because an emergency in Israel is 101. And there's an incredible article which Rabbi Asher Resnick actually said one Friday night here in Shul in the name of the Michta Melio. So we're not going to do it, but you should read it. It's unbelievable. It's called Kolo Shel Elio, The Voice of Elio. And what it discusses is how there are certain periods of time where you can actually hear the echoes of Elio, of Mashiach coming, or the potential for it. He was talking about the time of the Holocaust where you had crazy things like, for example, guys who hung out in bars and all of a sudden they're the rulers of countries named Germany, Austria, crazy things were happening in the world, and he said it was a time for tshuva. And we're seeing crazy things right now too. You just have to listen to the news too now about England. It's out of control. They got control of London, but they lost control of the rest of the country, basically, to some degree. It's for us to wake up. So it's a very important article, which he actually addressed to the Ponovitcher Yeshiva. Maybe it was coming into the 48 war, if I remember correctly. Okay. Now, we will not have time to discuss Eliyahu. Will Eliyahu be the Kohen Gadol? Will he not? Is he a Kohen? We will not have time to discuss Gog Magog, although I will say one thing about Gog Magog. I heard this actually, it's really Rav Shimshon Flor Hirsch who said it. I got it from Saul Jacobowitz. He told me that you got a strange name, Gog Magog. Why you call Gog Magog? So Rav Shimshon Flor Hirsch says it's a philosophy. It's a philosophy. They believe in Gog. They can protect themselves with Gog, with technology. But we're different. We're called the Sukkah people. We believe that nothing can protect you except HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's just for us to keep in mind when we say tomorrow night, right? We're really the Sukkah people, and that's the essence of Mashiach, that we're trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the importance of Mashiach cannot be understated. It is considered one of the fundamental beliefs of Judaism. Without it, you're considered a heretic. It is, to start with, the fourth question on the list, at least according to one Gemara, the fourth question that you will be asked when a person comes before Beis Din Shomala. The first is, did you act faithfully in business? The second, did you kavati tim l'Torah, which can really mean, did you steal time to learn Torah? Asakta b'piri v'rivyo. By the way, it doesn't say kiyamta. Did you fulfill? Asakta means, did you do shidduchim? That's what the Maharsha says. And finally, tzipisul Yeshua. Did you wait in longing for Mashiach? I mean, you didn't just say, oh yeah, I believe Mashiach's going to come, but you waited in longing for Mashiach. Therefore, when you read the Israeli news, we should all be longing for Mashiach because of all the crazy things that are happening in this country. Okay, whatever. That was just an aside. Okay, now the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim, the two main parakim of the Rambam are Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Bet. He discusses it also in the Perish Mishnah and Chelik. And the Rambam says like this, meaning in Melech HaMashiach, if you don't believe in Melech HaMashiach, believe it or not, if you are not waiting with longing for Mashiach, you got to wait in longing for Mashiach, so you're not only kofer in all the other Nevi'im, but you're kofer in the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's actually mentioned in the Torah. It's actually mentioned in the Torah. The Rambam actually says 3 places where it's mentioned. I'll just quickly mention 2. The third we'll mention later. The first is about Ori Miklat. The Torah alludes to there being 9 Ori Miklat. It has never happened. There's only been 6 Ori Miklat, 6 main Ori Miklat, meaning that Mashiach has to come, because otherwise we'll never have, the Torah has to be fulfilled. The second thing is in Parshas Vayelech, a very short Parsha. Parshas Vayelech, the Torah says, Perek Lamed. Is it Parshas Vayelech? Yeah. I'm sorry, Mitzavim. In Perek Lamed, it says like this, the beginning Perek Lamed, Ki of when all these things happen to you and you're sent into Golus and you decide and you start thinking, you take it to heart, like, what am I doing here? V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you do tshuva, right? V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha shvuscha v'rachamecha, he'll bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's a reference to Mashiach. Now, I just want to point out one interesting thing here, is it's pointing out in the name of Banim Smecha, so it says that God will bring us back, and then it says, after God brings us back, it says, Umol Hashem Elokecha Slevavcha Vezlevav Zarecha. Hashem will remove the barrier of your heart and the heart of your children to return fully to God. So this is an indication. This is an indication people will make Aliyah and not be frum. Not everybody will be frum. And only after people make Aliyah, eventually people will do tshuva and come back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So those are two of the three sources that the Rambam says are indications of the coming of Mashiach.
Now, the last one, how do we see Mashiach as opposed to a Kodesh Baruch Hu directly bringing us back?
Sorry?
Ali heard from the pasuk.
Yeah. So it's only an allusion, really, more to the time. The question is, the Rambam really, on some level, the third source really explicitly says Mashiach, as explicit as can be. Here, it really refers more to Yemosa Mashiach. You're right, as opposed to Mashiach himself. You're right. Look, we got to remember, and that's the next question. Mashiach is only a tool in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the name of the game, and that's it. Okay, and that really is the next question. Is Mashiach a human being? And if he's a human being, from what family does he come from? So, Judaism believes, and we say it really every day, when we say Es Tzemach David. Tzemach refers to the offspring of David HaMelech, that we believe that Mashiach is a human being coming from David HaMelech. We say in Yalav Yavo, Mashiach ben David, Avdecho, right? All this we believe. The Rambam in Chelek actually even goes a little further. He says he'll from be base David umizera Shlomo. He has to come via Shlomo too. It has to be via Shlomo, which is a Chiddush. I don't know where the Rambam gets it, but the Rambam says from base David umizera Shlomo. So for example, Hillel, for technical reasons, was really anyway from Shevet Binyamin, Hillel Azokain, but he was really from a different wife. He came from Avital. I think there was a wife, Avital, and he came via her. That's who Hillel came from. So Hillel, besides the fact that he was on the women's side and on the male side, but even if he would have been on the male side, it wouldn't have been good enough. You have to be from Shlomo, who comes from the wife, Bathsheba. Okay. Just to point out, our Rav cannot be Mashiach. Impossible. He's a Levi. That's it. It's over for him. You got to be from Beis David, meaning you have to be from Shevet Yehuda. Okay. Now, Yeshu, just because we might as well discuss it for a second. Yeshu, which Jesus, right, which stands for Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And by the way, all joking is usur, improper joking, except when it comes to Avodah Zorah. And what do I mean joking? I mean joking like the Gemara Megillah is explicit that you can start talking about something, bathroom jokes basically, about Avodah Zorah. So, okay, we're not going to do that today, but I'm just trying to explain. I will have a few jokes. But Yeshu, when it comes to Yeshu, why is it impossible that Yeshu was Mashiach? So now, without getting in, there's so many issues why he couldn't be Mashiach, like rejecting the Torah, which, okay, he rejected the Torah, but forget that for now. Okay, so first of all, by the way, there was actually a very, very, very good book called The Nazarene. It's like this thick. My father used to have it. Incredible book. It literally took the entire New Testament apart and showed you the ridiculousness of the entire books. Anyway, so in it, they say Yeshu is Mashiach, right? Now, you only got one problem, right? Because he's the son of God. Okay, now just to point out, it was actually in 325 CE where they took a vote in the Council of Nicaea. It's just good to know. They took a vote where they voted whether Jesus was really God, meaning he was the son of God, but he wasn't really like we have sons, right? But, you know, somehow connected to God, but he himself was God. He was God, whatever that means. They believe, by the way, Christians really truly believe 1 = 3. Okay, they failed first grade. Okay, there was another opinion that gave some divinity to Jesus, but didn't believe that he was a full-fledged God. So it came to a vote. It came to a vote in 325 CE, and by one vote, they came to the conclusion that Jesus is God, basically. Okay, so that's complete absolute heresy. Okay, but it also makes a tremendous complication for Christians, because Mashiach is supposed to be descended from David. So how can he be descended from David? God wasn't from David. That's a little bit of a problem. So they say, no problem. Mary was descended from David. Now there's a different problem. It says in the Torah explicitly, in Bamidbar, the first parak, that whenever you figure out what Shevet you're from, it's Levesav Osam. You go after the father. It's impossible. So in the incredible thing is, and this is the Book of the Nazarene, it points out how what's ridiculous in two of the books of the New Testament, it actually shows how Jesus is descended from David via Joseph. Remember that guy who's sort of the husband of Mary, but wasn't. But he wasn't his son. And yet, it says it. I'm telling you, it says it. Okay, whatever. That's one reason Jesus cannot be the Messiah. It's impossible. Besides all the heresy involved in saying that he's God, which is beyond ridiculous, he's not descended from David. Period. That's the end of Yeshu. As far as I'm concerned. By the way, in this week's Parsha, you should just be aware, we say, Ki lo reisim kol t'muno, and all this, and you can't picture God, be it like an animal, be it like the sun or moon, or be a human being. It's just not. This week's Parsha is mamish against Christianity. Okay, anyway, just trivia time. Okay, Mashiach is mentioned three times in Shemoneh Esrei, two all the time, three times sometimes. So one was all the time is Etzemach, right? Etzemach. The second time we said was in Yalav Yavo sometimes. And what is the other bracha? The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei.
What?
Maybe Goel Ivnei Bnehem refers to Mashiach right there. So he's known as Goel in Mashiach. He's called also Tzemach, and he's also called Mashiach ben David. Again, as an aside, we'll come to that aside later. It's not the place here. Okay, fine. Now, why do we want Mashiach to come? Is it so we can say Jews are the best? Is it so we can eat and drink? What's the story? What is it? So the Rambam really tells us the reason we want Mashiach to come, and we'll get a little more explicit about this later, is because of the amount of mitzvot we will be able to do. So the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Aleph. Sorry. Says like this: HaMelech HaMashiach Asid La'amor. The Melech HaMashiach will in the future come. Ulachzir Machus Beis David LeYashno. Return the kingdom of David to its original state. HaMemshal Rishono Uvon and Mikdash will build the base of Mikdash. Makabitz Nitchei Yisrael. V'Chozrin Kol HaMishpatim B'Yom HaKabushayim Mikodem. And all the court, the dinim will return like in days of old. Makrivin Korbanos. Okay, there'll be makriv korbanos vosin shmitin and yovlos tilchom mitzvosin amura b'torah, and this is something we have to realize. Today, according to the Chafetz Chaim, there's a big machlokas about this, but according to the Chafetz Chaim, we only have today 270 mitzvos, less than half of the 613 mitzvos. Is it possible to fulfill today? That's it. Not more. You don't even get to half.
How much is including Eretz Yisrael mitzvos?
Yeah, he includes everything. We just korbanos alone, right? King, right?
What a hard time as it is with the 270.
Yeah, 270, right? So they actually give a pasuk to remember it, and Shir Shirim, Ani Yishenov, Alibi Air. Air in Gematria is 270, but we're asleep on some level because we don't have all these mitzvahs. And mitzvahs are a way of, mitzvah, by the way, according to in Hasidic literature, and it's really based on a Gemara in the Brachos, mitzvah can mean to connect. And we really, by mitzvahs, want to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more mitzvahs we have, Ratzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisrael, L'Fikach Hirbo Lam Toro Mitzvos. And it's an opportunity for us. And we only have 270 ways to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so now, what happens is, in Yeshaya, we are told the following. Okay, I'll just read in English, because it makes it a little easier. This is about Mashiach, and he's talking explicitly about Mashiach, about how a staff will emerge from the stump of Jesse. Okay, chapter 11. The wolf will live with the sheep, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and a calf, a lion whelp, it is a lion whelp, it's a young lion, and a fatling, some sort of shore, will walk together, and a young child will lead them. A cow and bear will graze, and their young will lie down together, and a lion, like cattle, will eat hay. A suckling will play by a viper's hole, and a newly weaned child would stretch his hand toward an adder's lair, some sort of serpent, snake, yeah. They will neither injure nor destroy in all of my sacred mountain. Okay, and it goes on.
Where is that from?
Yeshaya. Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Vavon. The beginning, Pasuk Aleph, is where it talks about Yishai, Mashiach, but I skipped it. You know, in all honesty, I skipped. It's really famous because it really says, the Spirit of Hashem will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of God, etc. Okay. Which is actually very important, Pasuk, when analyzing Bar Kokhba. Okay, so the problem with this is, so it says here that the laws of nature will change, and yet the Rambam, and it's really not the Rambam who said it first, it's the Gemara in the fifth parak, the end of the fifth parak of Brachos, says that there is no difference between Olam Haza and Yemos HaMashiach, except that Shibud Malchus. We will not be under non-Jewish dominion. We will be in control of ourselves. You know, I actually have these visions, in all honesty. Mashiach will come, and Obama will get on a plane to come here, if he's still president by then, right? He'll come, and he'll come up to Mashiach to stick out his hand, and Mashiach will refuse to shake his hand, because if you touch a goy's hand, it's a tumah zav, midrabbanan. So he won't shake his hand, and he'll really have to prostrate himself on the ground, really, Obama, in all honesty, to Mashiach. That's what it will be like. We're not scared of anybody. That's it. By the way, the Rambam says that everybody will make peace with Mashiach, and if anybody starts up with Mashiach, God will destroy them. He says, destroy, destroy. You can look it up. It's in Parachalik. Destroy. Completely, absolutely destroy them. They will be finished. That's it. There's nothing to talk about after that. But the Rambam says, laws of nature will not change. Now, how does Rambam deal with what I just said? I just read you all these psukim that say that the laws of nature will change. Indeed, there are some. The Radak quotes an opinion, even though I don't think he believes that way, that the laws of nature will change. So the Rambam explains that these psukim are really just a metaphor, right? We're used to these terms. The bear. When you say the bear, you're thinking about Russia. The turkey, it would have been the turkey for Benjamin Franklin, but okay, it's the eagle. Okay, the eagle is America, right? Okay, if he would have had his way, it would have been the turkey. Okay.
Yeah, but Yeshaya wrote this before there was Russian.
Okay, but
what did it mean in this day?
Okay, well, look, for example, even among Jews, okay, I'm not saying that that's what it means here, but the serpent, right? The serpent could actually refer to dawn, right? Dawn, Shevet Dawn. I'm saying the different Shvatim had this idea too. It was very common. I don't know what Asher's symbol was. Or Mitzrayim had the Keves, right? Mitzrayim had the Keves. The different countries.
Move the deal.
So you're saying it would have meant something. It could have been.
It could also be that it was just saying that just like, it's almost like animals getting along. So the nations of the world, which are animals, okay, I don't know about you, but when I say Tfilas Aderach, I know what I have in mind when I say Chayot Ra'ot Baderach. And it's not about, you know, just a moose, okay. Anyway, it's a metaphor, and it's saying that the goyim of the world, who are Rishoyim, will get along with the Jews. Like I said, they'll be scared. So it'll take you have to destroy a nation or two, but after you destroy, Mashiach destroys a nation or two, okay? By the way, it's just very fascinating. Like, I think, what's going to happen? Do you know Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, immediately he has to kick every single non-Jew out of Yerushalayim. People don't realize this, because no non-Jew is allowed to stay in Yerushalayim overnight. The Rambam. Okay? Immediately, that's what's going to happen. What?
Ger Toshav can stay overnight.
No Goyim can stay overnight in Yerushalayim. Period. Okay, so I'm just saying, okay, we're not used to this, you know. I know that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu said that when Mashiach comes, if we're not ready with Korban Pesach, so what we'll do is we'll go up to the Goyim near us, I'm talking about the Arabs, offer them a few agurot and take their animals, because they owe us a lot more than that, okay, just like the Goyim in Europe owe us a lot more than they paid us. That's what he said. Again, but the animals of the world, the goyim of the nations of the world, will end up having being subservient to us and not challenge us and not do anything to us. In fact, it fits in well with the next pasuk, which says in verse 9, they will neither injure nor destroy in all of my sacred mountain, for the earth will be as filled with knowledge of Hashem as water covering the seabed. Okay, that's what the verse says. Okay, now that works out very nicely, but we have one other problem. The problem is that Rav Chiya bar Yosef in the Gemara in Ksuvos is actually quoted in the name of Rabban Gamliel in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, say as follows, that in the future Eretz Yisrael will grow baked goods and fine woolen clothes. I don't know off of trees or out of the ground, but that's what the Gemara says. So what's this mean? So the Rambam says again, don't take it so literally. All it means is that it will become very easy to get baked goods and clothing. Already in our day and age, we don't even realize it, but to make a beged, you know, it's just, there's a production line. Okay, there's a production line. They didn't have production lines 100 years ago. This was a serious problem. So things become easier. In the days of Mashiach, things will become easier. That's all it means. But as the Rambam sticks to his guns, nothing will change except that we will not be challenged by the nations of the world. Now the question is, why will there be no more subservience to the other nations? Why is it so important that we have independence? And why will it become so simple to eat, to have food, and to have clothing? So the Rambam says in Perek Yud Bet of Hilchos Melachim, that the reason is because people we're nervous. We're nervous, in essence. We can't totally function. We got a lot of things on our head. Different things affect different people, be it fear of missiles, be it a problem with Parnassa, whatever it might be. And this actually takes a toll on people, and we don't live as long because of it. The Rambam says, indeed, because these things will be solved in the days of Moshiach, we will live much longer. We will live much longer. And this will be done so we can do more mitzvos, get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and reach a tremendous level of shleimus, perfection before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thereby be zoche to olam haba. Okay, whatever that means. Yeah.
Would the illnesses, would that be eradicated?
So he doesn't say, he just says that we'll live longer. Hopefully, I hope they'll eradicate the illnesses. You know, they did have a Sefer Refuos in the days of Chizkiyahu that he got rid of. He hid. Who knows? Hopefully. Look, there's also a lot of things we're missing by not having a Navi. Okay? And for example, I think about it, how people don't know what they want to do with their lives, right? So people typically go, I think, through 4 jobs in their life, something like that. Okay, so you'd save so much time. Why? Because you go to Shmuel Hanavi. He's called Haroah, and he'll tell you, Horowitz, do this. You don't have to think twice. You know what you're supposed to do. Mashiach, who will be wiser than Shlomo, the Rambam says, not almost as great as Moshe, but not as great. So you have a Navi. We'll be Navi. We'll know. Okay. So that.
Are you going to discuss Yom Mashiach?
Sorry?
I'm sorry. Are you going to discuss Chesed
Nesim? I can't. I don't have time for that. That is a big machlokis, Rambam and Ramban. I'll just tell it very shortly if you want. Basically, the Rambam holds that you'll have Chesed Nesim, right? People will live a long life, and then everybody will die. Mashiach will die, his son will take over, and Rambam says even his grandson will take over. The most of Mashiach will last thousands of years. The Ramban and Raivid disagree.
Before Tchias HaMeisim. Thousands of years before
Tchias HaMeisim? No. I don't know when Tchias HaMeisim is supposed to take place. No, but Tchias HaMeisim will not be forever. The Raivid and the Ramban disagree, and they hold that everybody will be brought back to life forever. We will never die. We will remain in body forever.
Why would it be a waste of time? On his deathbed, realizes that Mashiach didn't come in his time. He's appealed to Yeshua. So why wasn't it a waste of time? In other words, it seems like you have the streaming plays throughout history, all of them hoping for Mashiach, and it didn't work out for them, and we're hoping this will be our door. But like Lamaisa, what happened to all of that Sipia Yeshua? It's like
We believe Mashiach can come anytime also, right? That can be a failure in a generation too, if Mashiach doesn't come. That's A. B, I think it changes in attitude too. I'll give you an example. I was teaching in this school in America, Orthodox school, and one of the teachers there were three teachers by the, I was one of the three teachers. I was trying to get a coffee or whatever, and there were two other teachers there. So one was a rabbi, one was this woman. So the woman goes to me, she goes, "You don't believe Mashiach, do you? Like, you're an idiot if you do, right?" Now, she's from, probably not, okay, no. So I go to her, "You know, I feel really bad for you. I feel really bad for you. Because what's going to happen is, Iran's going to get the bomb. So the way you see the world, because you don't believe in Mashiach, you don't believe that God has a final plan. Iran's going to destroy the world. You have nothing to hope for. Me, on the other hand, I believe God's got a final plan. That final plan is to come through his servant Mashiach. That's going to happen. Okay? So I have a lot of hope in the world. It might not happen in my lifetime. It's possible. But I have a lot to hope for. It changes your whole attitude as far as that. That's why Jews could actually get into the cattle cars and sing Ani Mami. They could sing Ani Mami because it's an attitude. It is an attitude. Okay, the two more topics, I think it is. Who is really the Mashiach? How do we know who the Mashiach really is? Okay, so there was a guy when I was in YU who would walk around with plastic. He wasn't a YU guy. Some goy off the street who would wear plastic on his face. Maybe he's a Jew, I don't know. And he claimed he was Mashiach. He would give gematria saying he was Mashiach. I assure you he's not Mashiach. He was not Mashiach. So, basically, the Rambam in two halachas discusses who Mashiach is. He says like this. Do not think that Mashiach must do miracles. Incorrect. He doesn't have to do Tchias Mechayim Esim. Forget it. Like those foolish people say. It is not so for Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the greatest people in the days of the Mishnah, who was the armor bearer for Ben Koziva. Ben Koziva is Bar Kokhba. Originally they called him Bar Kokhba because the hope was Dorach Kochav Miyakov, which we'll get to the third source in the Torah. However, later they call him Ben Koziva from the word Kazav Lai, okay, because he wasn't Mashiach. And he said he was Melech HaMashiach. And that's what everybody thought, except for there was, I forgot his name, who said, it's incorrect, but basically almost everybody believed he was Mashiach until he was killed, meaning Bar Kokhba, but Bar Koziva was killed because of his sins. Once he was killed, they understood he wasn't Mashiach. He wasn't Mashiach. They did not ask any signs or miracles from Bar Kokhba. So Mashiach does not have to do any miracles. Forget it. He doesn't have to do a miracle. Although, I will be honest, I sometimes do believe that the reason so many Israelis have cell phones is because when Mashiach comes, we don't have to hear a shofar blast over all of Israel. Your cell phone will go off and it'll say, Mashiach's here. Okay, that's sort of almost what I think. But, okay, let's go on. Okay. However, if a person will come from Beis David, he's got to be from Beis David, that's critical. Again, Rav Malinowitz is out of the picture. Many of us are probably from Beis David. Hogeb Torah, who learns Torah properly, is Osek B'mitzvos, like David his father. And he keeps Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebal Bichsav. And he'll direct and manage to convince Am Yisrael to serve Hashem properly. And he'll rectify the breaches in Judaism. And he'll fight the wars of God. So he is Bechezkas Mashiach. He is probably Mashiach. Probably Mashiach. How if he succeeded in all this, and he defeated the Goyim, and he built the Beis HaMikdash, and he gathered Jews to Israel, he is certainly Mashiach. He's for sure Mashiach. He is for sure Mashiach. Now, just as an aside, I almost think sometimes that if you ever have a politician who claims, who is a tzaddik, that's for sure Mashiach. But okay. Now, there is a story actually with Rav Chaim of Brisk. It's actually a very great story. It goes like this. I'll read it because I can't say it as well as it's written. Okay. One of the great rabbis, which was Rav Chaim of Brisk, of the last 100 years, was riding on a train in Russia, and he overheard a conversation between a Christian missionary and some deeply religious but uneducated Jews. The Jews had just expressed their confidence in the judgment of the ancient rabbis concerning the Messiah. In that case, asked the Christian, how can you explain the fact that Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest Talmudic rabbis, initially thought that Bar Kokhba was the Messiah? The Jews were taken aback and could find no answer. The rabbi, who had been listening quietly, turned to the Christian and asked, how do you know that Bar Kokhba wasn't the Messiah? That's obvious, he replied. Bar Kokhba was killed without bringing the redemption. Okay. Okay, so he was able to rest his case. That's the time of risk, right? So, Now, I just want to point out, we just have to discuss it for a second. The Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, it is chaval that we even have to really discuss it, because Lubavitcher Rebbe was a tremendous tzaddik. Yeshu was a tremendous Rasha. I don't even really like saying it in the same sentence. But according to the Rambam, it is quite clear. He died. He's not Mashiach. There's really not much to say. Rav Schachter, again, to quote one of my rabbis, Rav Schachter says like this: those who believe that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is the Messiah are simply acting foolish. At least as far as that, there's no Ikore Amuna as far as that, he claimed. He said it's considered foolishness and nothing more than that. Those who believe the Lubavitcher Rebbe was God, that's apikorsis, complete absolute apikorsis. That's as far as that. Notwithstanding, I will say, there is one Gemara in Sanhedrin. There is one Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that if Mashiach is from the living, it's Rabbi Huna Nasi. If Mashiach is from the dead, he's Doniel. Okay, there's something like that. Now, what did the Gemara mean exactly? Suffice it to say that literally over the millennia, all Jews said, Mashiach dies, he wasn't Mashiach. That guy wasn't Mashiach. Mashiach has to succeed the first time around. You don't pull it off the first time, you weren't Mashiach. So Yeshu was not Mashiach. Okay? And again, I don't want to, same line, but again, Lubavitcher Rebbe, a tremendous tzaddik, but he wasn't the Mashiach. Now, when will the Mashiach come? When will the Mashiach come? Okay, so the Gemara tells us explicitly that may the bones be blasted of those who try to predict when Mashiach come. The question is why? It's considered a terrible thing to do it. The reason is because basically if you take that date as too sure a date and say this is the day when Mashiach will come and he doesn't come, oh my gosh, people are just going to lose faith. In fact, there is a story in the Rav Yaakov book, excellent book, Life and Times of a Gaon Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, where there was an irreligious Jew, and the rumor went in Toronto, that Mashiach's coming this year. Mashiach's coming. So this guy who wasn't keeping Shabbos started closing his shop on Shabbos. He started keeping Torah mitzvos. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky went up to the guy and told him, I just want you to know, I'm not so sure that Mashiach's coming this year. I couldn't make a promise like that. I'm not sure he's coming this year. So people went up to Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I don't understand you. How could you? The guy's keeping Torah mitzvos because you will stop keeping Torah mitzvos. So he says, if the guy desecrates Shabbos, he desecrated Shabbos. You're right, that's a terrible Avera. But if he loses faith in Mashiach, that's one of the principles of faith. That's a principle of faith. That's more important than Shabbos, as it were. Okay, so it's something to keep in mind. Notwithstanding that, everybody tried to give a date, be it the Rav Saadia Gaon, the Rambam, Rashi, the Ramban, you name it, everybody giving a date. Finally, the Malbim said, B'derech Moshel, he says like this, nowadays, it's actually even a lot more people do it, and the Malbim actually tried to justify himself, at least, as far as this, and he said as follows. He says there was a father and son on the way to the fair, a few days journey, like 4 days journey. After walking 15 minutes, journeying 15 minutes out of the area, his son asked him, his son came along with him, his son asked, how much longer till we get there? He slapped the kid across his face with such a, asking the question. 3 days pass, and finally the merchant goes to the wagon driver, he says, how much more time till we get there? And he tells him. So the son goes, I don't understand. I asked the same question you did, and you slapped me across the face. What's the difference? Okay, we're not being politically correct. I know that. Okay, so he said, big difference. You asked the question at a silly time. I asked the question as we're about to get there. The Malbim said, now we're about to get to Mashiach. So therefore he gives his calculation. Okay, I forgot to bring it, but the Chafetz Chaim, okay, we passed the Malbim's prediction. The Chafetz Chaim in Simen Tov Chav Zayin, which is Rosh Chodesh, in the Bir HaLacha, actually discusses the calendar, and he points out how there are problems in the calendar. Some of the calendar issues might have been corrected, whatever it is, but he says there will be a problem in Tov Mem Zayin, which I don't remember, 80 years from now, something around there. But he says, now he wrote this probably in like 1920s, okay? He says, and don't worry, for b'ki bevadei bo'esahi, and harbe kodem lochen, we will be mekadesh the chodesh al pi yavo hagula gula wakama. We'll be mekadesh the moon al pi adam. That's what he says. So okay, let's just keep that in the back of our mind. Now, what is it with the coming of Mashiach? Okay, one second. Okay, when will Mashiach come? So there's a very, very important pasuk, and the way to remember it is it's in Parshas Kisavo, the Haftorah, the last pasuk. Ani Hashem bi'ito achishenu. I, Hashem, so it says like this, I am going to come in the proper time, and I will speed it up. Now, you can't do both. Whoops, sorry about that, guys. You can't come in early and in its proper time. You can't do both. That's impossible. Either you're early or you come in its proper time. So the Gemara answers like this, Zocho, achishenu. If we're meritorious, we deserve it, God will bring Mashiach early. Lo zocho, if we're not meritorious, Beito, he'll come in his proper time, which is close to the year 6000. Okay, whenever that might be. Okay, we have the same idea. There are two psukim. One is Ani Varochi Valchamor. The Mashiach will come. Ani, by the way, means humble, really. Humble. I know we say poor, but humble. And Rochei Valchamor. Actually, there was a guy who came on a donkey to the Kotel a few years ago, and they arrested him. Okay. And it also says in Doniel, that's in Zechariah. In Doniel, it says that he's coming on the clouds of the heaven. So again, the Gemara says it depends if you're Zoche on the clouds of the heaven. If you're not Zoche, then you'll come Ani Varochev Al Chamor, which we usually explain is a supernatural, tremendous amount of miracles will probably happen if he comes early, a more natural type way if he comes in his proper time. By the way, I just want to point out, even a little over 100, no, less than 100 years ago, people cannot even fathom Israel coming into being. In 1880, there were only 20,000 Jews in all of Israel. In the year 1903, there were 43,000 Jews. Okay, and Arabs outnumbered Jews by 50-1. 50-1. Arabs, as a joke, would call Jews children of death. Okay, because they would just murder them whenever they felt like it. Okay, so we're living in a different generation. People couldn't see things coming from America to here so quickly. Who could even fathom that? Okay, now, the third source, which I told you for Mashiach, which is the most explicit source, occurs in Parshas Balak. And it says, Dorach Kochav mi Yaakov, a star comes from Yaakov, that's why it was called Bar Kochva. Ve'kom Shevet Misrael, a rod comes from Yaakov. So that is an allusion again, says the Or HaChaim, to the two ideas. Kochav, that's the miracles, that's the clouds, that's coming quickly. However, the other way, Shevet, a rod, that's the slower way. So there are allusions even in the Parsha that deals explicitly with Mashiach. Now there is a famous story with Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi and Eliyahu that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Gemara in Sanhedrin, asked Eliyahu, where's Mashiach? He says, by the gates of Rome. He goes to Mashiach, he goes and meets him, and he says, when are you coming? He goes, I'm coming today. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi goes, oh my gosh, Baruch Hashem, he's coming today. He waits the whole day and Mashiach doesn't come. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi is ticked off. He comes to Elio and Avi goes, what is this? Mashiach lied to me. He lied to me. He goes, Elio says, he didn't lie to you. He told you the truth. You say in Friday night, davening, Hayom, in Bekolo Tishmo. Mashiach can come today. All we have to do is follow the commandments properly, in Bekolo Tishmo. And if we don't, that's a big problem. Okay, now I just want to end with, as far as our time, three things, and with that we'll finish. First of all, there is a Pirkei d'Rablazer. A Pirkei d'Rablazer, where is it? Pirkei d'Rablazer appears in Perek Lamed Bet, where he says, why was Yishmael called Yishmael? So the Torah tells us why he's called Yishmael, but Pirkei d'Rablazer gives a completely different reason. It's not because Hashem heard the voice of Hagar. Nah, that's not the reason. It's a different reason. Because in the end of days, Yishmael will cause us to cry so much that Hashem will hear our voices because of Yishmael. That's why he's called Yishmael. And finally, the Baal HaTurim says, and the Baal HaTurim appears at the end of Chai Yisor, the beginning of Toldos, where it says like this. It ends with Yishmael. Chai Yisor ends with Yishmael, and it says, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nafal, which Rashi tells us means he dwelt by all his brethren. But it's sort of funny. Why does it use the word Nafal? The next pasuk, which is Parshas Toldos, is Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, says the Baal HaTurim. Imagine, he said this hundreds of years ago. He says, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nafal, when the Arabs collapse, Ve'ele Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Mashiach is coming. Mashiach is coming. I'll just end with one thing the Chidah says. what the Chidah says as follows, that he quotes a Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni says that the Yalkut Shimoni says, if we only hoped for Mashiach, that's our only zuchus, that we hope for Mashiach, ein b'yad Yisrael ela kivui, kedai hein l'geula b'schara kivui, we're deserving of geula just because of that hope. And says the Chidah, that's what we say every day, every single day, es tzemach David avdecha meher tzemiach, bring us Mashiach, v'karno tarum b'shua secha, our pride should flourish. Why do we deserve Mashiach to come? What are we doing that we deserve Mashiach to come? Because if we truly hope for Mashiach to come, that is a tremendous zechus and will hopefully bring us Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu.
When does he tell us who gets all the